Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
So we are reading from chapter 2, contents of the Gita summarized, text 18, please repeat. Antavanta ime deha. Nityasyokta saririna anasyano prameyasya tasmat yutyasvabharata antavanta ime deha nityasyokta saririna anasyano prameyasya tasmat yutyasvabharata antavante ime deha nityasyokta saririna anasino prameyasya tasmat yutyasvabharata
Anantana ime deha
Antavanta ime deha
Nityasyokta sarira
Nityasyokta saririna
Anantino prameyasya
Anantino prameyasya
Tasmat
yutyasvabharata Someone else? Antavanta ime deha Nityasyokta saririna Anasino prameyasya Tasmat yutyasvabharata Okay, the word for word translation. Antavanta, perishable, ime, all these, deha, material bodies, nityasya, eternal in existence, ukta, asat, saririna, of the embodied soul, anasina, never to be destroyed, apameyasya, immeasurable, tasmat, therefore, yutyasva, fight, bharat, O descendant of bharat. Translation and purport by A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki. The material body of the indestructible, immeasurable and eternal living entity is sure to come to an end. Therefore, fight, O descendant of Bharat. Purport. The material body is perishable by nature. It may perish immediately, or it may do so after 100 years. It's a question of time only. There is no chance of maintaining it indefinitely. But the spirit soul is so minute that it cannot even be seen by an enemy, to say nothing of being killed. As mentioned in the previous verse, it is so small that no one can have any idea how to measure its dimensions. So from both viewpoints, there is no cause of lamentation, because the living entity as he is cannot be killed, nor can the material body be saved for any length of time or permanently protected. The minute particle of the whole spirit acquires this material body according to his work, and therefore observance of religious principles should be utilized. In the Vedanta Sutras, living entity is qualified as light, because he is part and parcel of the Supreme Light. As sunlight maintains the entire universe, so the light of the soul maintains this material body. As soon as the spirit soul is out of this material body, the body begins to decompose. Therefore, it is the spirit soul which maintains this body. The body itself is unimportant. Arjuna was advised to fight and not sacrifice the cause of religion for material bodily considerations. Antavante ime deha nityasyukta saririna anashina pameyasya tasmat yutyasvabharata. The material body of the indestructible, immeasurable and eternal living being is sure to come to an end. Therefore, fight with the son of Bharat. Now, here, Bhujan's Prabhu comments. The previous verse described the spirit soul, and now this verse is describing how the material body is destructible. So the soul is eternal and the body is destructible. It has to die, soon or later. The body is always changing. It does not exist. It must die. The body must die. Krishna is telling Arjuna, you don't want to fight in this battle because you want your relatives, Bhishma and Drona, all the rest, you don't want them to die. But you should know, if you think they are soul, you should know they will never die, because they are eternal souls. If you think that they are the body, we should know that you cannot save them from dying, because the very nature is destructible. It must die. So therefore you should fight. This is the message of this verse. Therefore fight the sentence of Bharat, because the body must come to an end. If you run from this battlefield, do you think you can stop Bhishma and Drona from dying? Are you that foolish to think that you don't think part in this battle Bhishma will not die, and Drona will not die, and Duryodhana will not die, and Dushasana will not die? How foolish. This is looking at it from the body point of view, then looking at it from the soul point of view. Arjuna, do you think you can actually kill them? Even if you put 1,000,000 arrows into Bhishma's body and his body dies, then he leaves the body. The eternal soul will not die. You cannot kill them. So either way, you should do your duty. We heard in the previous verse that the person who is not disturbed by happiness and distress is steady in both. He does his duty in both. You cannot stop the body from dying. You cannot make the soul die. Just simply do your body. Simply do your duty. Therefore fight, O descendant of Bharat. Om Ajana Timandasya Chaitanya Manavistam Staptam Yena Bhutam Samrupakadamayam Dadati Svapalantikam Pandiyam Shiro Shiyuda Patakamlam Shirum Vaishnavamsa Shirupam Charitatam Sakanarunatam Tam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parjana Saitam Sikrishna Chaitanya Devam Shirada Krishna Padam Sangalita Shivishakam Vitamsa E Krishna Karuna Sinu Dina Bandhu Jyat Pratiko Pesha Kupka Kanta Radha Kanta Namastate Tapta Kanchna Gaurangi Radhi Vinna Vanashri Vishavana Siddha Devi Panamaya Hari Priya Pankha Kalptra Vyasa Kripa Asana Vyasa Patna Papangyo Vaisna Vyao Namo Nama Chai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Akshvasadhi Gaurangha Bhakta Vinna Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Namo Vishnu Krishna Prasad Krishna Mati Bhakti Chosanti Namo. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Vastaya Padrisha Mati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Tanaman Namaste Saraswata Devi Gaurapani Pacharana Nirvishesha Sanyavadi Praspacharana Padrakarana Prabhupada. So, Krishna is instructing Arjuna said, yeah, how can I kill my superiors? That Bhishma Dev, Dronacharya is teacher, Duryodhana, so many relatives. So in some sense, Krishna is chastising Arjuna. See, look at the world through the vision of the soul. Do not identify yourself as the body. Do not see others as the body. So that spiritual vision, is in the fifth chapter described as Vidya Vinaya Sambhane Brahmana Gavrastini Sunsevsa Bhagacha Pandita Samadarshana. One sees the same spirit soul in the heart of a Brahman, of a cow, of a Sudra, or a dog eater. Thus, one sees with equal vision only spirit souls, and the body is like a dress. Thus, the analogy Krishna uses is like a dress. Take on a dress, and then you are separated from the dress. That's an important lesson we all have to learn, how to act as a spirit soul. Because Arjuna is seeing things through, they're seeing the world from the bodily concept of life. Thus, clearly in the first chapter he says, he thinks that, he considers first everything through Artha Shastra. Artha Shastra, Artha means wealth. And Artha Shastra is a shastra which shows you how to get wealth. But Artha Shastra says, one who takes your wealth, who takes your property, who takes your wife, who tries to burn your property, you have the right to kill him. They are transgressors. So Arjuna agrees, yes, they should be killed. But at the same time, he considers Dharma Shastra. Dharma Shastra is a little higher than Artha Shastra. Dharma Shastra rules how to live in this world. In this world, there's also the bodily concept of life. I think that's higher. And Dharma Shastra says, yeah, you cannot kill your relatives. That's very simple. You cannot do that. You get heavy reactions for that. And one should protect the women in society. Otherwise, they become polluted. It's all based on the body. A woman's body, female body, must be protected. That's all the body concept of life. So Arjuna sees things on different levels of Shastra, but they are all meant to regulate the bodily concept of life according to one's desires and to one's situation. But then Krishna comes with pure religious principles, the transcendental, and that is acting as a spirit soul for the pleasure of Krishna, which is the essence of bhakti. it says to Arjuna, you should act transcendentally as a spirit soul and not a body. That so the body is perishable. So Prabhupada writes in the Purport, it may die immediately or after 100 years. That so this bodily conception of life is very strong. That because whatever happens, we want to maintain this body. We want to keep it in a good condition. We love the body so much. That all our existence is going around this body. And that's not astonishing. Because in this world, everything is centered around the body. All English laws are related to the body. Not to soul, related to the body. Although it considers the self somewhat, because the body changes. So if the body changes every second, if I'm the body, I'm another person, right? Because it changes. But still, you will be liable for a crime you did 20 years ago. So there is implicit recognition that one is not a body. Implicit. Because one is still liable for one's previous acts, although the body changes. And people, they live like they live eternally. Why is that? Because they are eternal, they are spirit souls. It's not real to think of that. And no one thinks himself as old. One feels, in fact, one feels still young. The body gets old. That feeling is there. But everything done in relation to the body does not exist, because the body is not existing. It's the soul in the body that exists, that makes the soul alive. Some devotees ask Srila Prabhupada in the airport, what do you see? And he said, I see so many dead bodies flapping around. It's interesting that because the body is dead, the soul inside that makes it alive. That's the consciousness, that's the real person. So then we come to relationships. If one thinks one is the body, and so the one who has a male body becomes attracted by one who has a female body, then you get a relationship based on that concept. But that's not going to go right. It cannot go right, because the body changes. And the man looks at the woman, oh, beautiful. And 40 years later, you have something completely different. Like, what's going on? I made the wrong choice. It's just one looks at the outside, the package. That's like like Padyumna makes this presentation before the children, all the components of the body, and he takes the heart out. It's like a model, takes the heart out, take the heart, and you take the stomach. But then you have the body of a woman, and it looks nice at the outside. But what's in the inside of the body? All this blubber and this blood and this these organs going on. And then that's where your love goes in the bodily concept of life. Oh, I love this, I love that. She loves me, she loves me not. That's the bodily concept of life. That's called illusion. Deep illusion. It's so deep. So deep that Krishna says even a man of discrimination, he falls into the trap. It's so forceful. You cannot go against it. You fall into the trap. This bodily concept of life is lust. By this lust you cannot understand your spirit soul. It takes your intelligence away. If one speaks about intelligence in this world, one can have a high IQ. But it's material IQ. One needs SQ, spiritual intelligence. IQ. Spiritual intelligence, not one needs. Without spiritual intelligence, you cannot understand yourself. You have a mistaken idea of others. If this relationship is based on the body, then person thinks, oh, my family will save me. that's my savior. One starts to walk like a donkey for the whole family. When you cannot work anymore, get rid of him. Put him. I was for several years. I was the head of the administration of a home for retired people. And a family comes and brings their father or grandfather to the home. They're all happy together the first day, and then you see them once a week, and once a month, and once every 2 months, and then they come only to pay the bill, the last bill. Body bag and the last bill. I made a lot of last bills so that this bodily relationship, it's good, it works good as long as there is mutual exploitation. You give and I take. Or you give to me and I take from you. that's the whole story of material existence, exploitation. And one who is the greatest exploiter is the number one, number one businessman. So many millions of pounds or dollars. The only thing it means is I'm the biggest cheater. I was good in cheating others and exploiting others. I did the right thing in my life. Look how great I am. But the body dies. You see people in a big car What do they inside? They fight with it. This bodily concept of life, Maya, is very strong. But here Krishna is our own school, and he's waking him up, shaking him. He says, "You think you can kill Bhishma, Bhishma Dev?" I say, "You cannot kill him, because the life is a soul, and you cannot kill the soul. It's not possible to do that." And you think when you go away from the battlefield and like begging, like what Arjun proposed, you think Bhishma Dev will not die? He will show in the 11th chapter. Krishna will show his universal form. He will show how he killed everyone already, on exception of the Pandavas. Quite interesting. One may think, I'm fighting on the side of the Pandavas, and I'm not going to die. No, that was not Krishna's arrangement. Krishna's arrangement was everyone was going to die, and everyone is going to leave his body and get a better destination. But we are so attached to this body, we are so attached to positions, we are ready to fight for it, giving up one's position, so deep attachment, something in our life changes suddenly, we become so disturbed. But we know the changes will come. Can you avoid the changes? No, they will come. Soon we have to go. I became the number one, and then you leave your body. What's the point? Who will say, "Oh, he was the number one"? Come the Srila Prabhupada went to France and said, "There's a big statue of Napoleon." Srila Prabhupada said, "France is here, but where is Napoleon?" "He's gone." That's with all of us. So therefore, Krishna just touched Arjuna, "You are an un-Aryan." An Aryan is one who knows the values of life. That's spiritual culture. Aryan race. The spiritual race. Hitler had it wrong. He misused the whole thing. Did not understand it. Bon Maharaj was a disciple of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Maharaj. He was sent to the West for preaching, and he was in London for some time. He had a meeting with the Lord of Sutland, and they with different honorable persons, they erected the societies, and then Vaishnava society, and then he left for Germany. And he got there a disciple, and his disciple was translating his books in Russian, in German. And he was trying to make connection between the Aryan civilization and with the Nazi propaganda. But he published his book. It was published in Nazi Germany. But then the Nazis found out that his idea of the Aryan race was different than the German idea. And they wanted to prosecute him, and he fled Germany back to India. Anyway, it's all misunderstanding of the Vedic culture. Vedic culture is a spiritual culture. Arian is one who knows the values of life. He knows I'm a spirit soul. I'm not afraid to die. I can live every moment. There's nothing which this world can offer me. Happiness for the body and suffering for the body, but not for me. Nothing for me. But people's identification with the body is so strong, because their consciousness is in the body. It's externally their conscious. But the Krishna consciousness is so strong, it can reverse this flow of consciousness going to the body and to the object of the senses. It can reverse this flow inside to the soul. That's the power of Krishna consciousness. So the eternal soul, we cannot see this soul with our eyes. Not with material means. You see, you need spiritual vision. The spiritual vision is only obtained by Ananya Bhakti. Because all these yoga systems which Krishna will explain here in the Gita are ways on the journey to come to this Ananya Bhakti and this real perception of the spiritual realm. Yeah. Bhaktya Yanandana Sakya. In 1154, after Krishna has shown his universal form, Krishna says to Arjuna, "Can understand me as I am standing for you, only by unalloyed devotional, pure devotional service. Only in this way can you enter into my secrets." That's the way to enter into it. So that's devotional service. Process of devotional service brings us to that point. Mm-hmm. So the body is a part and parcel of Krishna. Srila Prabhupada speaks about it's like a particle of light apart from the supreme light. So Krishna is all-pervading supreme light everywhere. He's everywhere. At the same time, he's a transcendental person. That is not to be understood by material reasoning. You cannot. How can someone be a transcendental person and at the same time be everything? Because he's the source of everything, so everything must come from him. And if Krishna is spiritual, how can everything that comes from him be material? It's not possible. It means everything is spiritual, but we see it as material. And that's our disease. That's a separatist mentality, Prahlad Maharaj says. Separatist. Yeah, separating. And by this separating consciousness, we are coming in the world of duality. Duality means opposites, right? Duality. If I think I'm a man, I separate myself from all the women. Is that not separation? Yeah, it's separation. If I think I'm a big man, then I separate myself from all small ones. If I'm rich, then I separate myself from all the poor. If I think I'm intelligent, then I'm separate from all dumb-headed. So that's yeah. The world of polarities, dualities. And the world is based on these polarities. It's bound by it, by the law of karma. You come under the come of the world, the coming under the law of karma means you acting as the body. Otherwise, there is no karma. There is no karma for the soul. Act as the body. People think they are free to do whatever they want. That I'm going to enjoy. But you want to enjoy? You will suffer for the same amount. You have to pay for it. It's always this duality. Always. Jesam spasya boha duka yunya evati atyantavante kaunteya snati shuramate buddha. The wise man has said that engaging in sense gratification, it's a source of misery. And it has a beginning and an end. So whatever you get in this world is cheating, because you can say I'm working very hard a whole year, then I'm going 2 weeks on vacation. But it's temporary. Soon you are there again at work. So what's the use of it? It's all temporary. Yes. So why strive for it? One with intelligence, he does not strive for anything in this world. He just tries to keep his body and soul together. Simple living, and not to be much entangled in this world. And what's the goal of life of a devotee? To fulfill Krishna's mission, to please Krishna. And how do we know to please Krishna? Following the instructions of the spiritual master. He is the representative of Krishna. That's the process. Taking the mission of the spiritual master as one's life and soul. Yeah. So that's very important. It is said, one who does not understand the mutual mission of his spiritual master, his life is a failure. Very interesting. So these are very important consideration. As soon as the spirit soul is out of this material body, the body begins to decompose. Therefore, it is spirit soul which maintains this body. That sounds logic. That if the body is alive, there is consciousness. If the body is not alive anymore, there is no consciousness. It's gone. So, who can counter-argument that? Not possible. You cannot prove the opposite. One can say prove it. Yes. But prove that what Krishna is saying is not true, you will not be able. It's just a fact. This is intelligence, accepting it, this fact. You have so many religions. All religions speak about an afterlife. If there is an afterlife, something must be left. Otherwise, we see the body is decomposing. If nothing is left, what is for this, the meaning of afterlife, there is no meaning. Only this principle gives meaning to it. Someone, son, the soul, goes to next existence. That's the only principle. Otherwise, no religion makes any sense if it denies the existence of the soul. Is that such a difficult thing to understand? That Krishna is not speaking here about religion. He's speaking about the science of the soul. That Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam is a training for the conditioned soul to look to the eyes of the soul and not as the body. And why are we in our present condition? Because we desired it. We are the architect of our own future. We are the architect of our present situation. That we are responsible for it ourselves. And we are responsible for our future. And not only that, we are also responsible for the future of others. In the Bhagavatam, in the fifth canto, it said one should not become a mother, not a father, not a relative, not a demigod, not a guru, when one cannot liberate his dependents from material entanglement. That's the duty of the human being. That it's not only with ourselves we have to concern, also with others, to bring to that platform. And that's Krishna's mission. He wants us to help him in his mission. And then the soul becomes what Srila Prabhupada in the introduction explains of the Bhagavad Gita. The soul becomes a cooperator with Krishna. And then we are connected with the source of everything. It's like this bulb is connected with the electricity, and electricity comes from the powerhouse. The powerhouse of everything is Krishna. He's the source of all energies. So we have to connect with that powerhouse. We connect, that connection, that link is called devotional service. If we are connected, then we come out of the body concept of life, because then we act as a spirit soul. Devotional service is a natural activity of the spirit soul. And it's done, this service should be done with devotion. But if our mind is full of anxiety for the material body, how can we display devotion? Therefore, one must come to the position of liberation. From the position of liberation, it's easy to practice Krishna consciousness. Position of liberation is the mode of goodness. You have to learn how to live in a mode of goodness, because that's close to the liberated position. And from there, it's a short stepping stone to Krishna consciousness. Therefore, Krishna has established Varnashram. Varnashram is a system in which everyone acts out of duty, not for the body, but out of duty. Then everything comes peaceful. It doesn't matter, one is king, and one is a cultured laborer, and one, according to one psycho-physical bodily concept, one is engaged in duty. Because But this bodily concept has no value. This king is now king there, and next life is an ant. But now he's very proud, he's a king. So that's all the illusion of the world. That you go on the internet, it's nothing else than this illusion. And for this bodily concept of life, they fight with each other. They fight. And they become victory in this life. Means defeat in the next. So what? It's all, you do harm to someone, once someone will harm you in the next life. Very simple. That's all for the body. That's honor. It's worse than death. Honor for the body. But it's a deep illusion. Krishna is waking up Arjuna, and he acts as his guru. Guru means also heavy. It is cutting in his attachments. That you've seen in the beginning of the second chapter. It says, you are Duskulam. Where is this dirtiness coming from? You are an Aryan. Klaibyam. Important to say such a thing as a true Kshatriya. Say you are not a pandit. You speak learned words. But a pandit does not lament neither for the living or the deaf. Those who died, no. Because everyone is eternal. It's only the body. Now you are here, tomorrow. So it's a question of liberating our consciousness from these misconceptions. That's the real emancipation. Get this misconcept, from our body. Get the I and mine away, because the mind is a big illusion. Nothing is ours. It's here, it's just for a moment. Then we go to the next body. From one body to another. It's not that, I spent 90% in my life in the body concept of life, fighting with others. And then at the end of my life I'm going to think of Krishna. No, you are going to think of your anxiety. That's all. That will be your absorption. There you go. Again. And who knows? You will get the human body again. Krishna says, you practice this Krishna consciousness. It's assured you get the human body again. At least, that's a consolation prize. You don't make it, you get at least the human form of life. And you become again attracted to the principles of yoga. And quickly you come to the point where you left the last life. Then you go. But on the material platform, you lose everything. It's a lose-lose. You lose everything in this life. Yes, you will lose everything in next life also. that so-called happiness of the body is useless. That it's not valuable because it does not exist. It does not exist because it's temporary. Temporary. It's like a fata morgana. You see it. And you want to grasp it, and it's gone. Time is took it away, it's gone. My family 40 years ago, everyone who was there, gone. They all died, really. All gone. No one anymore. It's all like wind gone. And that's our illusion. That, but in all, this body may be illusion. But Krishna is not an illusion. It's eternal principle. And devotional service is not an illusion. It's our eternal activity. If you are engaged in devotional service during your own whole life, after death you will continue to engage in devotional service. And a devotee lifts it up to Krishna, because Krishna says, my devotee will never perish. They develop love for me, he says. I give them Buddhi Yoga, transcendental intelligence, by Yena Mamupayantite, by which they can go back to the spiritual world. Krishna takes care of us spiritually. Ananya Sintianto Man Yitam Parapastite Samnitya Byuktam Yugaksinam Pamyam. One who loves me with, or offers me, or with unalloyed devotion, who worship me with unalloyed devotion, I protect all spiritual advancement my devotee has made, and I give him all what he lacks to make further progress in devotional service. 9.22 Bhagavad Gita, Krishna's promise. Who do we trust? Mr. Vas, or the politician, or Krishna? Who will help us?
Krishna.
That, of course, some politicians may be more pious than others. That's another thing, but also piety will not help us. Srila Prabhupada wrote Gandhi just six months before he left. He warned Gandhi, give up this politics and start to preach Bhagavad Gita. Otherwise it will be your destruction. He's about to write that. Although he started his career as a Gandhi man, but he rejected the whole thing. Now, after being instructed by his spiritual master, when he met Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, that Srila Bhaktisiddhanta said to Prabhupada, the first time he met him, you should spread the cult of Lord Chaitanya all over the world, in the English speaking world. It was quite a direct instruction. That was the first time he met his spiritual master. Srila Prabhupada objected, how can we preach that if we are still under the British rule? We are not independent. Should we not first become independent? Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Maharaj says, that's not important. That real dependence is depending on Krishna and spreading. So that's interesting how this started with Srila Prabhupada and his spiritual master. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati immediately cut into his illusion, his in attachment to being a Gandhi follower. He just smashed it to pieces from the last meeting. No, these politics will not help us. They are an obstacle. Attachment to them. They can only promise you welfare for the body. But welfare for the body is useless. It's useless to the extent that if you receive more than you need, then you will misuse it for your sense gratification. It is the well-being we need. Well-being is for the soul. We have all these charitable institutions concerned with the body of others, but they are not concerned with raising the consciousness of others. They are not concerned with their future. No. Now they are suffering, let us help them. But Krishna decides they should suffer because they get their reactions from their previous life. That's supreme justice. Nothing you can do about it. That was this man, yeah, the Titanic, big ship, which had this maiden trip from someone somewhere in England,
Southampton,
to Canada, or
somewhere.
Yeah. Just and when the boat collapsed with this ice glacier, then it sank. There was one person in the was working in the in a machine room, and when it sank, some of the engines exploded, and he was full of oil, and he got into the ocean, but it was the by the oil he was not. It prevented him that he would drown, and they finally saved him. So and then when he came home again, they were all celebrating his survival, and he got drunk. And then he got so drunk, he came on the street, and he was walking, and it was raining, and there was a little puddle. And he was so drunk, he fell right into the puddle, and he was drowning in the little water. So we cannot escape our karma. Think, I will cheat Krishna. Krishna knows. No, you get your reactions. And the devotee receives his reactions, and that's all right. But mostly when one engages in devotional service, all these reactions are gone. Just by the chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra. It's gone. But still you may receive some suffering, but that's Krishna's arrangement, who gives you everything you need to make spiritual advancement. That's his care. So that you would detach yourself. You start to practice Krishna consciousness, and suddenly you lose everything in your life, and everyone rejects you. That's Krishna's mercy. He pushes you out of the entanglement, and you let it loose, let it go. That you become useless in the eyes of everything. This guy is always chanting. Good for nothing. The only thing he can do is join the ISKCON move, become a devotee of Krishna. Becoming humble, becoming a weak person, not good for anything. No, the reality is this person comes out of illusion. He wakes up and says, oh, I've been cheated by this bodily concept of life. Man becomes free. Anyway, that's what I could say on this verse today.